Well, today I'd like to just talk with you for a few moments, if you would allow me to. And I'm encountering a lot of people, whether they are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church or as I walk the halls of the hospitals talking to parents and staff, whether it's friends or family members, I'm getting text messages or email messages. There seems to be a lot of uncertainty in people's minds today, a lot of uncertainty, skepticism, almost to the point of being fearful and afraid of what's coming on the earth, what's coming in the world. And then we have just so much going on in our own country here in America, let alone the rest of the world. We don't know if the European Union is going to collapse and that's going to throw us into another financial crisis that's going to impact America. We don't know if Iran is going to start a nuclear war or if North Korea has nuclear weapons somewhere. We just don't know everything that's going to happen. And we hear things coming from Washington, D.C. that can give us cause to pause for a moment and just shake our heads. We see things happening in our communities, whether you live in Atlanta or whether you live here. It's just times are changing. And because times are changing, it can give us a lot of stress and just a sense of uncertainty. And we don't always have that sense of comfort that we need as children of God. And so today I'd like to share with you just a thought to strengthen our faith, facing the future unafraid. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. But I do have the Word of God, amen? And it lays out a pretty detailed picture of what's going to happen and what's coming upon the earth. And so by way of just reminding us of some of these things today and in encouraging one another as we go forward is my hope as we spend a few moments in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless us for these few moments as we worship together, as we study together, as we listen to you today. I pray the Holy Spirit would guide my thoughts and my words and just would anoint me from heaven, Lord, that only your words would be spoken. Help us to see you clearly. Help us to understand what is happening in this world. Strengthen our faith, Lord, and just give us the courage we need. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Facing the future unafraid. It's very important to be able to do that. When Jesus was preparing to leave eventually, he would take time out to talk to his disciples. These guys had a lot ahead of them, and Jesus knew they were going to face some difficulties. He would eventually be leaving them, but not leaving them alone. But he wanted to prepare them. He wanted to let them know that you're going to run into some tough times. It's not going to be easy to be called a follower of Christ. And I want you guys to know that. I want to be transparent with you. I want you to know that you're going to face some uncertainties that can possibly shake your faith. And so I want to tell you about these things. And so if you look in Luke 21, and then we're going to come back to Deuteronomy, Jesus is giving a picture of the last days or the end of times, the time of the apocalypse, the time of the ending of all things that will come upon the earth. And he's giving his disciples a roadmap. And he's saying to them, here's some signs and symbols and things that are going to happen. I want you to pay attention to these because when you see them happening, you will know that prophecy is unfolding and you know that my return is very near. Remember in John 17 when Jesus prayed for his disciples? He also said, Lord God, Father, I'm praying for those who will believe on me through the disciples. So he was praying for us as well. Because we believe the testimony of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, and all. We believe them. We believe that their witness of Christ on the earth is true. And so Jesus prayed for us when he prayed for his disciples in John 17. And Jesus is talking to us in Luke as he's talking to his disciples. And there's a place I want you to pay attention to in Luke chapter 21. And this is what it says, beginning with verse 8. Let's start with verse 7. So the disciples asked him, saying, Teacher, Rabbi, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not follow them. Verse 9. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Nations will rise against nations. Are we seeing that today? Amen. And it's continuing and getting worse. Have you heard about what's happening in Syria? It's getting worse. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful signs and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. Now, a lot of times we don't want to hear that. And I'm going to tell you what my wife says a lot of times when we're talking about Jacob's time of trouble, and it's going to be very difficult for Christians and especially those who are keeping the Sabbath. She said, honey, I have talked to God, and he has informed me that before all that happens, he's going to lay me to rest. You know, I'm not going to have to go through that. And then we smile together. I say, you know what? That's not such a bad idea, because the picture that Christ is painting is going to be one of just terrible times and stress and anger and enemies coming at us from all directions. It's going to be very difficult. And then we go on down. It says, verse 13, it says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. So in other words, Jesus is telling his disciples and those who will believe on disciples that before my return, things are going to get bad. And they're going to get worse than bad. They're going to get terrifyingly bad. Now, living here in Chatsworth, living in South Georgia, North Georgia, when you're not in Atlanta, sometimes you might be lulled into a little bit of carefree living and feel that there's peace all around. But then the news often inundates your day and punctuates your thinking with a murder here or a kidnapping there or a house burning, trapping kids there or nations against nation. And you see and hear all of these terrible things that are happening. CDC, the Disease Control Center in Atlanta, talks about superbugs, superviruses that they don't even have a cure for. There's no antibiotic for that eventually are going to take over. We hear about pandemics that eventually are going to come, where thousands are forecasted to die through these pandemics. We read about terrorists on a day-in and day-out basis, homegrown as well as international terrorists, terror from within and terror from without, everywhere you go. You read about carjackings in big cities and little cities and bank robberies. And you read how children are becoming in some areas and places just so rebellious and defiant and angry and turning against their parents and even plotting the murders of their parents. This is the world that we live in today. And we can't get away from it. It doesn't matter where we go and where we live. It's there. It doesn't matter what continent we're on. It's there. We live in a time when God says in Thessalonians that there shall be a falling away from the truth and from the church, a great apostasy, he calls it. And he also says there's coming a time when my spirit shall be slowly withdrawn from the earth and the lawless one shall be released. But he says, I'm allowing the angels to hold back some of the strife. But there's coming a time when it's going to be so much trouble and angst and angry people in this world, Jacob's time of trouble, a shaking in the church, that the Lord says, if I don't cut it off, even the very elect, even those who have chosen and are close to me, they're going to be shaken out of the church. Wow. I don't know about you, but my wife's prayer may be the best prayer. But here's the thing that you learn when you serve in the military. No retreat, no surrender. When I served with the Marines and I was their chaplain, they assured me that no matter where we would go, whether it was in Iraq or Afghanistan or whether it was in Bosnia or whether it was in North Korea, they assured me, chaplain, we will always bring you back. We won't leave you. We will fight to the last man. Wow. Well, you know, our military fights for freedom of this land and this nation and our rights, But we as Christians have a higher calling even than the U.S. Marines. Amen? We're fighting against the kingdom of Satan. We're fighting against an enemy that wants to overtake our children, overtake our land, our values, our morals. We are fighting against an enemy who has had centuries to prepare, who knows every weakness that's inside our minds and inside our hearts, and he knows exactly where to touch us if God allows it. You've read the story of Job. That's the enemy that we're battling. I'm no match for Satan. He's had centuries to practice his craft and to practice his art. He's had centuries to devise schemes and plans to undermine me and to trouble my soul and my spirit. I am no match for the devil, and I do still believe in 2012 that there is a Satan. I don't think it's a generational thing that the generation before me believed in the devil, but now the devil somehow is no more. The Word of God says that he will trouble us until Christ comes and cast him into the lake of fire. There are fearful times coming upon us. We're told that Seventh-day Adventists in prophecy will one day be accused of undermining the nation, will one day be accused of bringing all the trouble into the world, and Seventh-day Adventists will be sought out and persecuted for their beliefs. That's the church that you're a part of. You don't hear that preached much anymore in the Adventist church. There are fearful times coming upon the church. And I often ask myself, not only am I ready for it, but are my children ready for it? See? And so as Jesus was giving them this picture, I could imagine that there was some fear rising in their hearts. I can imagine they were becoming afraid a little bit because Jesus wasn't going to be with them, and his power that calls Lazarus back from the dead wasn't going to be there with them, and his power where he fed multitudes of people and healed multitudes of people and fought Satan in the wilderness, and they knew of his power. Jesus was saying, I'm leaving, but he reassured them that I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you some power. I'm going to leave you a presence of mine that can be everywhere that you are. In Deuteronomy, we find Moses now reaching the ripe old age of over 100. And Moses is going to pass off the scene. His time has come, and God has told him that. And so Moses was going to have to pass the leadership over to a much younger man and a new generation. And I imagine, like most older people and senior individuals, while they look at these young people and young men with anticipation that they can do a great job, there's a little bit of uncertainty in their minds because they seem to have a lot of zeal, but do they have the stuff to take it? Moses knew that his relationship with God had been born out in the wilderness when he struggled with his own humanity, his own fear, his own apprehension as he went through the wilderness, and he fought with God in his mind and his heart, and God brought him out on the other side so he could lead the people. Moses knew who he was, but now he's turning everything over to Joshua. And he says in verse 1, then Moses went and spoke to the people of Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. Moses has been faithful to the Lord. He led the people and put up with their murmuring and their grumbling. And there were times when God says, I'm just going to wipe them all out. And they don't obey. They don't listen. And Moses said, God, wipe me out instead. He had this relationship with God where he could even say to God, Lord, let me see your face. And he said, I'm not going to show you my face because you won't live if you see that. But I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock. I'm going to cover you over with my hand. Then I'm going to quickly pass by and give you a peep, Moses. But see, Moses had been disobedient. You know why this is so important? Because today people think God is not concerned with obedience. Today people think that God will accept you no matter what you do or what you say or how you act, because there's grace and you just have to love him and he's going to somehow turn a blind eye to your disobedience. But God, although he loved Moses and he had a relationship with him, he said, Moses, you disobeyed me. And through you, Moses, I'm going to teach an example to the children of Israel that obedience is important to me. See, our children are forgetting that. Our young people are forgetting that. Our leaders are forgetting that. We're saying now in this world that the Bible is generational, you know? It's the old folk who believed in that. It's not this generation. There's a new theology and a new understanding. God is allowing us to see more light and to be more progressive. The Word of God tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It says that what has come from his lips, he will not alter, nor will he change. He told us through Jesus Christ in the New Testament that not one jot or tittle shall pass from my law unless heaven and earth shall pass away first. He also said in Daniel that in the last day, men shall think to change the times and laws of God. It's clear. Moses was a leader, and he was a very responsible leader, but he disobeyed God. Remember that? God said, Moses, what did he say? Speak to the rock, Moses, and water will flow. Moses was so upset and tired of the folk, you know. Maybe he was just coming from a board meeting. I don't know, but he took out that stick, right? And he hit that, boom, he hit that rock, you know, so that water will flow. And God said, no, Moses, you didn't trust me. And see, Moses, if I don't discipline you for this, then the people are going to think it's okay to disobey me. I know you love me, Moses, and I love you, but your love should help you to obey me. And so Moses was disciplined. He was not allowed to go into the promised land, the land that he had longed for, the land that he had suffered for, the land he had led the people for all these years. He wanted to put his, just take his foot and take his sandal off and touch that lush grass, right? When's the last time you took your shoes off and walked in the lush grass when the morning dew just fell? Remember that? You know, I walked along a clear spring, you know, and just scooped up a little water and put. Moses wanted to just walk on the grass and taste the water and feel the breeze, right? All that God had promised. But God said, Moses, I'm sorry. You will not reap the promised land. Well, God, can't you at least excuse this one thing? Moses, you're not going in. You and I have to teach the people a lesson. And so Moses was going to die before getting to the promised land. Now, the end of that story, so we don't lose hope, is that Moses knew God, repented of his sin, God forgave him, and then took him to glory with him. Amen? So there's grace even in the Old Testament. Right? There's forgiveness even in the Old Testament. But we must remember that God wants us to be obedient, and he even has a higher calling for those who are in leadership. And so he says, Joshua is the new guy. Right? Joshua is the new guy. Moses was older now, and he was passing off the scene, and Joshua was coming on. Moses was decreasing, and Joshua was increasing. Moses was passing on to Joshua the reins of leadership at a time when the nation faced a lot of different enemies from within and without. Not so unlike America. You see, God called America, United States of America, for a special reason. We know that, don't we? And we're moving away from that path. But that's also forecast in prophecy. People had ebbed and flowed in their trust of God, and now they were ebbing and flowing in their trust of Moses as well. And now the people are standing on the horizon of a new day. They're ready to go into the promised land. They're ready to reap this blessing that God has given them. But God knows there's still more work to do. There's still enemies in the land. There's still things that you have to do and that you're going to face. God knew that even though you were going into the promised land and you were going to reap all the milk and honey and all the rich, fertile agricultural land, Satan was still going to be there. The enemy was still going to be there. And there were going to be things you were going to have to do, and it was still going to be tough. You know, wouldn't it be great if you gave your heart to God and accepted Christ as your Savior, and after that, all problems would just leave? Right? All problems would leave. Right? Do you have any problems today? Oh, no, I'm with Jesus. I have no problems. Right? Are your children driving you? Oh, no, my kids, oh, man, they wash the dishes. They take out the trash. They say their prayers every night. They bake me a cake every now and then. I have no problems. What about your health? Oh, no health problems, no headaches, no backaches, no rheumatoid, no arthritis. You know, as I get older, y'all, I'm getting more aches and pains than I never knew I had. It's getting a little difficult to kneel down there now. That's strange for me because I used to be an athlete in the military, right? March with the Marines. I was about to ask Dr. Cook for a little help there. You know, can you help me up? You know, my eyesight is not as strong as it used to be. I went to my doctor's office the other day and I had a little ache in my neck, and he's about 38 years old. He put his arm around me. I love Dr. Craig. He said, Chaplain Ward, I just need to tell you, you're getting older. And he said, these things happen when you get older. I said, thank you, doctor. I appreciate that. But God never intended for our bodies to age the way they do and to have the sicknesses we have as a result of sin in this world. That's what we have. Amen, church? But we're looking forward to that day when all arthritis and rheumatism and backaches are going to be gone, right? All tears are going to be gone. No more cancer, no more sickle cell, no more diseases, right? No more anger, sorrow, right? No more dying. Aren't we looking forward to that? The reality, though, is that we're not there yet. We're not there yet. There's still work to be done. There's still an enemy out there that we have to fight. And he is determined that if he can't get you off track, he's going to destroy you and your family. That's our enemy. He doesn't like the fact that this church is here. He doesn't like the fact that Seventh-day Adventists are still preaching about the mark of the beast. And he doesn't like the fact that Seventh-day Adventists know so much prophecy. He doesn't like that. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's what scriptures tell us. And so Moses calls all of Israel together and he calls Joshua and he says to them, listen, I've had a talk with God and I know what's coming. I know what's going to happen. And here is some encouragement that God wants to give you. I want to give you some encouragement before I sit down in the next few minutes. Here's my encouragement to you, because we're worried about stocks and bonds and we're worried about mutual funds and the Dow Jones and we're worried about war and we're worried about pestilence and famine and the greenhouse effect and the earth heating up and we're worrying about gas mileage and we've got to stop worrying so much. Who do we serve? And hasn't he told us that these things are coming? Amen. I went to work one day, I'll never forget it, and on the left and the right, parents and staff were coming to me, you know, and I'm sure they were good Republicans and Democrats and independents and no voters, and they were like, oh, did you hear what the president said? What did he say? He said he accepts and believes in the sanctity of same-sex marriage. The world is going to fall apart now. I said, instead of worrying about what the president has said, you should be saying hallelujah. They looked at me really strange. Why? I said, because the Bible forecasts that. It's forecasted. Romans, throughout scripture. You see, God loves everyone. Everybody. Do you believe God loved Judas? Yes. I remember I was in a group of Jewish people once. I said, God loved Hitler. Man, they wanted to run me out of there. My God loves everyone, no matter what they do. But his love does not cover over their sin. If he said it's a sin, I can't change it. Wouldn't even try. Amen, church? The word of God says that there shall be spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes we have difficult choices to make in this life. And Moses said, you're going to need to be strong. You're going to need to be of good courage. You're going to need to not be fearful. Don't be terrified, Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 8 and 9. Don't be terrified. Don't be in awe. That word terrified means in the original Greek language, don't be in awe of the enemy. Don't stand back and look at them as if there's something you cannot battle and fight with Jesus. Let me give you an example. I used to play park league football before I played high school football. And I'll never forget the little park we had. We had a little group of guys play football. And we were so excited because a coach went and picked up all of our equipment. And he came and gave us our helmets and shoulder pads. And we were like just overwhelmed because we hadn't had these before. And then we were going across town, man. And we were going to play this game against this team that was really good. But we were ready. We knew we were good. And we went out on the field, you know, had our equipment. And we're kind of like a ragtag group. And all of a sudden, we saw our foe. Woo, man, they came out all in a line. Woo, 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 woo. All together. They had their helmets on, their shoulder pads. Their shoulder pads looked bigger than me, you know? And they were big, and they had these super duper nice helmets and shoes and uniforms. And I'll never forget, we said, I know we're not playing them, right? There's a second game going to happen out here. And the game started, and boy, we were getting beat something like 30-9 or something. And I'll never forget, this one guy was running the ball. He grabbed the ball, and he went down really low. And at that time, I went down really low to tackle him, but he went lower, and his helmet hit my helmet, and I was on my back. He kept running. The coach ran out and said, where does it hurt? I said, all over. It hurts all over. Can I come out of the game? Later that night, I remember taking my helmet, true story. It cracked right in two. That was a strong foe we played. The devil is stronger than we are. The enemy is wiser than we are. But God says, don't fear him. Amen? God says, don't worry about him. I've got your back. I defeated him on the cross. I'll send angels to watch over you. Amen. I will be there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be with you until the end. I will go through it with you. You're going to see a lot of things happen in this earth. It's going to trouble you, but don't worry about it. I have overcome the world, and I'm giving you my peace. And only that, I'm giving you my strength. Giving it to you. So don't be dismayed. Don't worry about it. People are panicking today in America. We've got a president who's making and changing religious laws and changing marriage and doing so many things. And then we've got another person who wants to be president and he's not even a Christian. What do we do? And they're tormented. God's in charge. You know what my Bible says? He raises up kings and he takes them down. No one serves in leadership unless God has ordained it. For whatever purpose that may be. The word of God says that we're going to enter a time of trouble that's going to be partly led by the United States. You don't hear Seventh-day Adventists preaching about that too much anymore, do you? Because we don't want to stick out. We don't want to seem unpatriotic. Well, the Word of God says it. We're going to give our authority to the beast. The Antichrist is still real. It's still in my Bible. It hasn't gone anywhere. The Lord says, I've written it in indelible ink. It's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. But fear not, I am with you. I will be with you till the end. So when you see these things happening, church, say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He's soon to return. Amen. He's soon to return. Deuteronomy 31, as we close out, I want you to listen to this reading. Starting with verse 7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Verse 8, and the Lord, look at this, he is the one who goes before you. You see that? The Lord, in the original Aramaic language, that is Yahweh, Jehovah, the only existing God. He's the one that's going before you on your job when your supervisors give you headaches. He's the one going before you before those bullies at school. He's the one going before you when your bills are high and your funds are low and you need a blessing from the Lord. He's the one going before you when you're terrified to go into the doctor's office. He's the one going before you when something you're facing is troubling you. God shall go before you. That's the faith that we have to pass on to our young people. Amen. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark. Verse 10, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, verse 11, you shall read this law and remind the people. You see, every now and then we've got to be reminded of who's in charge. Church, it's God. It's not a politician. It's not a king or a prime minister. It's not even a preacher. God is in charge. So I face the future unafraid. Not in my own strength, not in my own knowledge. I face the future unafraid because I know who holds the future. I want to close with this quote. Before Christ's incarnation, the Son of God possessed only divinity. Through his incarnation, he became flesh, thus acquiring the human element that was previously foreign to him. He became a God-man, a complete mingling of divinity and humanity. Talking about Christ. Through the vehicle of Christ's humanity, God became approachable. In the man Jesus, human beings could converse with God, be taught of God, dine with God, weep with God, and show affection to God. The great chasm of separation that once existed between the holy God because of sin and fallen man was bridged forever by the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He is the one who can keep you from falling and present you faultless before the only wise and loving God. And he has promised you that he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. When your faith wavers and when you feel Satan is getting the best of you, do like Peter. Forget those flowery prayers. Just say, help. And God will be there. Amen. May God bless you as you prepare to go through another week. May you go through this week with even stronger faith so that when those you meet along the way and you see their faith is wavering, they will be able to look at you and listen to you and gather some strength for the journey. Knowing that here is a person who's trusting in the rock of Jesus. Father God, bless us. Strengthen our minds and our hearts and our souls. Give us more courage. Much is coming upon this land. Satan will try to trouble us, but Lord, you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Bless us all that we will soon see Jesus coming back through the clouds of glory to take us home to live throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.